Voices in the Valley, supported in part by Valley Bookseller. Stillwater's very own independent bookstore, Valley Bookseller, offers everything book-related. Located on North Main Street, Valley Bookseller displays a wide range of titles and genres and offers many monthly literary opportunities, including Literature Lover's Night Out, Totally Criminal Cocktail Hour, book clubs, and author visits. Digital audiobooks are also available, as well as the option to buy titles online at valleybookseller.com. Valley Bookseller. Great books, great people. valleybookseller.com. Voices in the Valley supporters include real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. Wendy's experience spans over 15 years from new construction to whole house remodels. Wendy brings over a decade of expertise in decorating and staging homes, along with connections with many professionals in the home industry, including painters, plumbers, electricians, finishers, and cabinet makers. You can find out more about Wendy at wendygimple.com.
Hold your papers up high. Forget all your worries. Where troubled poets can't die. They're the meat of the story.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. I'm here with Dee, my partner in crime, and we are back roaming the hallways of St. Croix Preparatory Academy.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Dean and I were here last week interviewing. She just pushed the microphone away from her mouth. Okay, now you got to say something.
I don't want that in my face.
So just for you listening audience out there, I have my iPhone and a little fuzzy mic that we're using, and Dina's not allowing me to get the mic towards her face.
Awkward.
Well, you know what? That just comes with the territory.
I know.
But we are here back at St. Croix Prep because in the month of August, we had a two-week creative writing intensive that the Shire held called the Boom Site Creative Writing Intensive. And St. Croix Prep was amazingly gracious in allowing us to bring authors in from all over the area to teach the students about creative writing. From that creative writing intensive, we got some beautiful pieces of work that students are sharing with us.
That's amazing.
Yes, on today's show. So we're very grateful to St. Croix Prep and also to the Metropolitan Regional Arts Council, which gave us a grant that allowed us to offer this to students. And this is all a part of supporting a youth literary magazine called the Boom Site Literary Magazine. There you go.
It's a mouthful.
The Boom Site. Let's
there
just call
go,
it the Boom Site.
Site. Mm-hmm.
All of the work that you're going to hear today will also be in the second issue of the Boom Site. So do go online to theshireonline.com and select Boom Site to sign up to get that digital magazine.
Okay, I was just going to ask you that.
Beautiful work. In today's show, we're going to hear again from Elaine Bransford. She's going to have some tips for us about the writing process. And then at the end of the show, Executive Director John Gutierrez will share about the state of creative writing in the schools, and we'll hear more about what's up with that.
Very cool.
But let's get started with Elaine Bransford. Elaine, thank you. It was your classroom that we were in during our two-week intensive, and I just can't thank you enough times, so I really appreciate you sharing that space with us. It was perfect. It was absolutely wonderful, and I'm also really glad to have you back on the show here on Voices in the Valley.
Thank you for having me.
Well, here is the question for you. How can youth and adults develop a creative writing lifestyle?
I think my first piece of advice would, I guess it's a fairly obvious piece of advice, but is just to do it, right? To find time to jump into the writing that you're wanting to do, and to write a little bit every day, to make it a habit, and to stop making excuses. So that's my first tip. It's not a mind-blowing one, but it is, I think, really important, is just to do it. If you want to write, then you are a writer, and you can call yourself a writer as long as you are willing to write. Sort of tied to that, I think it is really important that we allow ourselves to unplug if we want to explore our writing. It's so easy to be distracted by our phones and our computers, and I find myself at night spending 45 minutes looking at the Instagram profile of someone I care nothing about, instead of thinking about things or writing about things that would really matter to me. So I think in addition to just doing it and writing, I think it's also really important to have the courage to unplug a little bit from the world, to be alone and be alone with your thoughts, And I think those two tips are really important. And finally, my third tip is, maybe I'm biased because I'm an English teacher, but I think that one of the best ways to become a good writer is to be a reader, to read a lot, to read things you might not normally read, to challenge yourself as a reader. And I think that's an essential part of being a writer as well.
Those are really helpful tips. Thank you for that inspiration. And we're now going to switch gears here. I had the opportunity during the Creative Writing Intensive to interview Nora. She is an eighth grader at Hudson Middle School, and she talks about how writing helps her spread her emotions and express herself in dealing with a long-term illness that she has. And she's done a really phenomenal thing, which is she is writing a musical right now. Wow. And she is going to share a song that she wrote from that musical. Let's hear what Nora has to say. Nora, like all the rest of her writing teammates, has joined us here for the Shires Creative Writing Intensive. And we're super glad that you've been involved, Nora. It's been great to meet you.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I've gotten a lot of opportunities, and it's pretty cool.
Well, it's awesome. And I just am amazed by all the things that you do and all the areas that you're involved in. So, Nora, would you just share a little bit about yourself?
I'm a little bit boring.
You're a little bit boring. That is not something I thought.
I do a lot of STEM things, so you wouldn't really expect that I'm kind of into the arts. This summer, I did Michigan Tech. I went to Michigan Tech for a week and built robots.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
Last year, I did a thing called Science Olympiad. Okay. It's like a science competition where there's like 20-something events, and each student on the team gets like 3 to 5 events.
Okay.
And you go into competition. It's pretty cool.
That sounds awesome. So tell me about the writing and artistic side of you.
Well, a lot of it has kind of come from, like, spreading my emotions, just because kind of having a little bit of a hard time just because I've been having some medical problems. So been stressed out, so I have to kind of express that in some way. So writing and songwriting have kind of been, and painting have been a part of that.
Writing, songwriting, and painting. You are...
Yeah.
Talented. You are a renaissance person. Wow, that's awesome. So I know, because we talked about this before we started recording the interview, that you're kind of bringing all of that together. Well, maybe not the robotics, but certainly the artistic things, and that you're writing a musical.
Yes, I am.
Tell me about that. That's extraordinary.
So it's a pretty wild plot.
Okay.
It starts off as like a comedy, and it gets kind of darker as it goes on, not in a psychological type way, but it talks about issues that are kind of deep-rooted and aren't usually spoken of. So it starts off just kind of like singing about, like, oh, these are the kind of smaller things that I hate about school, like, oh, light, hate the bus, things like that. Mm-hmm. Then it starts talking about, like, bullying, not only from students, but from teachers, which is very, it's not talked about a lot in, like, places other than grad school. Mm. And I think that's really important, especially in places like high school, when teenagers are already trying to figure themselves out, and then they get abused from authority figures.
Wow.
So it also talks about some important issues like suicide and mental illness, and hopefully keeping the humor throughout the whole show, so it's not like a huge bummer in Act Two.
Yeah, wow. I mean, you are really... delving deep. Oh, there's your ukulele. Here's a little teaser alert. We're going to have Nora play one of her songs on the ukulele. Share that in a moment. So that's what that errant little note is. It's a harbinger of what's to come, a little foreshadowing. I mean, wow. It's stunning what you are accomplishing and what you're doing. And what inspired you to write a musical?
Well, music has always been a strong part of my life. And songwriting just kind of comes easily to me. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of one of the places that I'm able to express my emotions best. And when I'm trying to express emotions about important topics, then might as well do it in something that's easy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Easy for you, I should say.
Yeah, easy to get my point across.
Yeah, so tell me about the song you're going to play and where it's at in the musical, and give us some context for it.
So this song, it's called Please.
Please.
Yeah. and it is kind of in the beginning of Act Two, and one of Michelangelo's, the main character, friends, has attempted suicide.
Oh, wow.
And he's kind of trying to, like, wrap with the fact that he knew that his friend was in danger, but never told anyone or never. And, like, what he was doing wasn't helping her, but making his mental illness worse, and also not helping his friend.
Please, play please.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I cannot believe that I was so naive. I let you wallow when I just internalized your sorrow. I wasn't even helping you. So please wake up, open your eyes and breathe. I let you play with a knife and it costs you your life.
Steps. So what, do you have a place that you can perform this after you've written it?
I'm hopefully trying to, like, pitch this to the FIPS, which is a local art center in Hudson.
Yeah.
And hopefully they like it.
Yeah, how could they not?
And it'd be amazing if I could get it performed there.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, when you get it to the point where it's ready, I will help you get it at the FIPS. I think what you're doing is super important, and so let's make it happen, okay? We're going to pinky swear.
Pinky swear.
Pinky swear. Okay. All right. Thank you. That was stunning.
Thanks. That was fun.
It's just amazing, the power behind that song and
how she's able to express what she's feeling. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah. I really, really want this musical to, not only for Nora to finish it, but for it to be produced, and I would love nothing more than to see it at the FIPS. You know what? That's one of the things we do at the Shire, is we try to empower students and see what we can do to help them produce their work. No, I can't make any promises, but I will make this commitment right now. I will do whatever I can to help Nora's musical get heard. Because it's clearly profound and something that is very needed.
And important.
A voice that has to be heard. Well, we are not really even shifting gears very much because our next student is Amanda. She's a seventh grader at Stillwater Middle School. And she has a poem that she is going to share about grief. Mm. Amanda, welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Thank you.
Tell me, Amanda, when did you decide you were going to become a writer?
I don't know. I just started writing. I mean, I know a lot of writers, so I just wrote.
Now, you say you know a lot of writers. Do you have people in your family who write, friends that write?
My mom was a journalist, and her college friend has written some books, so yeah.
That's really cool. Well, if you have people that you know that are writers, I bet you might have a tip or two that you could share with us and share with other writers. Do you have any suggestions for them?
Yeah, I think my number one rule of thumb would be just write whenever you can about anything, because you're never going to get better at writing unless you start writing.
That's really good advice. Thank you, Amanda. Now tell me about the poem that you wrote.
So it's a poem about grief. Couldn't write about anything else. I could just write about grief.
Did something happen in your own life?
Not really. I don't know. It's just cloudy. I'm a very empathetic person.
Well, I'd love to hear it. Would you share it with us?
Sure. Stuck in a pit, cruelly cold, with no end. Hands grabbing wildly, begging to get out. No stop, no entry, just a fog of misery, the silence of despair, and moans of all forgotten. Numbness to the core, no feeling except pain, an endless flow of tears, bitter with their saltiness. First to go about our day, pretending everything is fine, and nothing is okay in this endless pit of grief.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I know that writing has the power to really help us understand other people's point of view, and so I think it's really neat that already at your age you can do that. So thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
The next person that we're going to hear from is Sophie. She's a 12th grader at Faribault High School. Sophie's been blind since birth, but that hasn't stopped her in any way.
Amazing girl.
Yes, absolutely she is. In the interview, she talks about being different and then shares a personal narrative she wrote about that experience that is just, well, as I said to one person, I felt like we should be on NPR because it's so...
Amazing.
Well written.
Good for her.
Right now, I have Sophie Brown here. She is a senior at Faribault High School. And Sophie, we're so glad you've been a part of the Creative Writing Intensive.
Well, I'm glad to have been a part of it, Stephanie. It was a lot of fun. It still is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's not over yet.
It's our last day. We have, what, about an hour and a half?
Yeah.
So we're sitting in the classroom at St. Croix Prep. So it's a little echoey here, but you know what? It doesn't change how amazing the content is.
Hey, it's great acoustic.
Yeah, exactly. We'll look at it from the best,
yeah,
best standpoint that we can. And, you know, Sophie, it's especially wonderful to be able to connect with you and to talk with you because you have an interesting set of circumstances that life has dealt you.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, honestly. It really is.
Yeah, so you were born blind.
I was.
And so from the beginning, I'm sure you've always been a storyteller. So tell me how you became a writer.
Yeah, I guess I've always liked telling stories. I started out as a reader. I still am a reader. I really struggled in school because I'd stay up till 4 a.m. reading. And then I'd get up and I'd be so tired. And it made me struggle in math a lot. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I've been a writer for 7 years. I would say I started in sixth grade. I think what was really cool, my sixth grade teacher had us do a thing where we would each read in parts. We would take characters from a book and everyone would have a character. And so someone would be reading the author's part, the narrative part. And then another person would read the dialogue as their character. And it made me think, like, that is so cool. And, like, I want to do that. I want to make characters that people like to imagine themselves as or be. So I started writing my own stories. And it took off from there.
That's excellent. So what sort of things do you write?
So I am a young adult paranormal romance person, writer.
I love that you know this so specifically. Young adult paranormal romance writer.
Yeah. So basically what that is young adult novels are for readers that are in senior high or older. For example, Twilight or Lies Beneath by Anne Greenwood Brown. Those are some examples of young adult novels, some great examples. But the paranormal romance is, well, romance. And paranormal talks about creatures that we're just going to say don't exist in the real world, but hey, you never know.
But in your imagination, they're very, very real.
Oh, yes, very real.
Yeah.
So I also do a lot of the romance aspects are LGBTQ. That has kind of been a new aspect of my writing in recent years. So it's definitely a new take on romance, and you're starting to see it more and more, and I appreciate that, definitely.
But today you're going to share a personal narrative with us.
I am. So this is nonfiction.
Yeah, so it's not the paranormal romance.
No.
So tell me about the personal narrative you're going to read for us.
So the personal narrative,
And why did you write it?
Well, I wrote it because it was a project we were working on last week.
Oh, for the Creative Writing Intensive.
Yes.
Here at the Shire.
Yes.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So this is a particularly fun assignment for me because it's not something I normally do. I don't really like... I like to talk about myself, but I like to talk about my work more than myself. Mm. So this was a challenge, but it was a very fun, exciting challenge. And that's the best kind of challenge.
Absolutely. So Elaine gave you the prompt to write something personal about yourself?
She did. I took something that... This was kind of a memory, at least in the beginning of the essay, that resurfaced as I was writing this because I couldn't decide if I wanted to talk about being blind or being a part of the LGBTQ community, being homosexual. So it was really hard, but I managed to put them together. So that's generally what this is going to be about.
Well, I look forward to hearing it.
All right. I'm excited to share. Frosted graham crackers. When I was 3 years old, I had a struggle. It wasn't the kind of struggle where your mom and dad kiss your boo-boos and then everything is better. It was a struggle that had to do with a concept a child learns at a very young age. Shapes. At my preschool, they had one of those toys where you have to fit a shape into the corresponding hole to get it into the box. They offered frosted graham crackers for a snack every day, but the teacher would always tell me I would miss snack time if I didn't get all the shapes in on time, and I would have to do something else. I never did get those crackers. If that seems unjust to you, thank you. I appreciate your sympathy. I was a stubborn kid, always trying to fit a triangle into a square hole, a circle into a triangle hole, a round peg in a square hole, if you will. Everybody knows that insanity is doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting different results. Did this mean that 3-year-old me was bound for the funny farm? Maybe. As it turns out, however, I was right all along, at least from my viewpoint. The idea that everything needed to be in its corresponding box stuck with me. Most people, especially people like me, might detest being put into a box, but that tyrannical preschool teacher somehow rewired my brain. I had spent 3 years fighting the rules of the shape game, but now, if only to get those crackers, I learned to play by the rules. It makes sense for me to have everything in its box, everything in its corresponding place. You might notice I mentioned people like me, and as you read this, your hypersensitive mind is asking, "But Sophie, who are these people like you?" When I was 14, I began to question my sexual orientation. I knew there were a lot of holes I just wouldn't fit into if my ideas about my homosexuality were correct, which I was pretty sure they were. Already there were plenty of holes I didn't fit into, being blind. My disability wasn't the issue, though, at least not back then. I didn't really know how I identified. I knew I liked girls, I guess I always knew it. But did I or did I not like boys? I certainly liked the idea of boys, but I'd never felt any type of physical attraction when I was with them. Maybe I didn't have these types of feelings for any gender. But wait, there it was. The idea of gender. That was a whole separate spectrum, one I couldn't even wrap my head around as far as my own identity was concerned. Will someone please tell me where I fit in? There it was, that last thought, that last question in my tangled web of woes and worries. Would someone please tell me where I fit in? I had been blind since birth, and because of people's misconceptions, the false belief that even at 14, the inability to see made me an incapable child didn't help me fit in. Now these new feelings I had could make me an outcast to even my visually impaired friends, who already thought me a bit odd, despite what they said. By this point, you might be wondering, Sophie, what does this have to do with frosted graham crackers? I'll tell you. For years, I have been struggling to find the hole I fit into, what kind of puzzle piece I am. And when I do find that hole, will there be other puzzle pieces like me? Recently, I have found that the answer is a resounding yes. I just haven't found the hole yet. There are other shapes like me, ones that fit pretty well into that same hole. I have a feeling I'm going to find the hole soon, and after years and years of waiting, I'll finally fit that last piece into the hole and enjoy those long-awaited frosted graham crackers.
Sophie, you are a brilliant writer.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot.
So beautifully written.
Thank you.
I love it, and thank you for sharing.
Of course, it was my pleasure.
Dina, I just am amazed wow. at what Sophie had to share and the eloquence with which she wrote.
Absolutely.
And again, I'm struck by the depth of emotion and experience mm-hmm. that these students take into writing and how they once again create something so meaningful
Absolutely.
Out of experiences that are challenging and difficult. And mm-hmm. their willingness to be courageous and share about these things Absolutely. Is something Open that I find really inspiring. So I'm grateful. Also feel truly fortunate that we right now have in the conference room executive director of St. Croix Prep. It's John Gutierrez.
Oh, how am Where's I going to live up track? To that?
Exactly. I know. Ooh, I might add an applause track.
I think you're going to have
I
to.
I think I am. Oh, my goodness. That's what, you know, Googling sound effects is
exactly.
for. So
oh,
don't be surprised if when you listen. By the way, in case you haven't realized it, we're not live.
Right. that is correct.
Yeah, we'll good be deal. Editing in. But no, in all seriousness, John, it's great to be here. Thank you again for being such a gracious host. Of the Boomsite Creative Writing Intensive. It really was a truly remarkable 2 weeks for us and for the students. And, you know, I have kind of a tough question for you here, John, because, you know, obviously I'm coming from the perspective of thinking that creative writing is so super important. And sometimes when I hear about national standards and college preparation and all of those things, I worry a bit about creative writing getting lost and the focus being so on academic and academic performance that we don't necessarily have opportunities available for our students. So mm-hmm. here is my question.
Can I pass on this question?
Well, no, now you're kind of stuck.
I'm
but,
stuck, okay. Yeah, I am ready.
But, you know, you can, like, deflect. You know, you can do the politician card and not yeah. really answer the question. But I'll ask the question first and you can decide what to do.
I'm ready.
Which is, what is the state of creative writing in public schools? And then what can nonprofits like the Shire do to support schools and support creative writing in our community and in our culture?
I do have to answer that question.
Yes.
So I will say this. I would say in most schools or throughout the nation, I think the state of creative writing is on the decline. Because right now there's an emphasis on college preparation, the next step. It's the academic writing, it's preparation for ACTs, SATs, and so on. So I think that's unfortunate in a way, because in the system of education, we try to prepare kids so that they can go through this process. But at the same time, I think we need to recognize that everybody's journey is completely different, that they have a unique perspective. Nobody's walked in the shoes of every single child. And so there needs to be opportunities for creative writing. So within the education system, we try to have them learn the language, read great literature, but at the same time, they need to find their voice. They need to understand the semantics of their world and their language and be given opportunities to express themselves in ways that only they can express themselves. So with that, I think within every classroom, there should be a time where teachers explore that opportunity and give kids that chance to do that. Whether it's encouraging them in daily writing or actually class exercises, where they can express themselves in ways that are not traditional to academic rigor, but to self-expression, finding themselves, expressing their emotions and their feelings.
Ooh, good answer. Should we give him the prize?
Very eloquent.
I know. How
Let's give him a chocolate chip cookie.
High five.
Do I get the applause?
Oh, let's do the applause track again. Let's throw a couple of whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, I like it.
John, thank you again both for putting up with us.
I kind of expected this.
Right?
Those who know me,
yeah, that's right.
It's always problematic.
That's right.
But it has been delightful to be in this school, and we thank you so much for your graciousness in providing the space that kids could explore their creativity and write what they wanted to write and to have a voice. And I guess, again, tick, 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 time is up.
Time's up.
The cane has come out. They're pulling me off the stage. And we're glad you joined us. So next week on Voices in the Valley, it's part two of the season finale of Hush. The question is, has Gayabi been destroyed or does it still exist? You'll have to tune in next week to find out. And in the meantime, if you just can't stop wanting to be a part of the Voices in the Valley experience, you can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and the podcaster.
directory, or go to voicesinthevalley.us. So I know you miss me, so go.
Bye.